This episode is brought to you by Bleacher Report. How do you follow sports? From college football to the NBA, Bleacher Report brings you the latest news, live scores, and epic highlights from your favorite leagues, teams, and athletes, all in one app. Dive into exclusive shows hosted by your favorite athletes and original Bleacher Report series with breaking news, rumors, and predictions all season long. Download Bleacher Report to personalize your coverage.
And now back to
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I want to do something special.
Saquon Barkley goes into NFL history.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Who wants to go to the playoffs? Touchdown walk again. They win it overtime.
Damn, throws to the right. Throws to Addison. Caught.
Pulling it down off the roof was Keon Coleman for the touchdown.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, coming up, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. We'll take your phone calls in a second. We've got a poll question that's out there. It's been out there for about an hour plus. Overreaction Monday's been out there for about 2 hours. Chris Brockman and I recorded it before the program. Check that out if you please. The poll question is, it currently stands top of hour number three, Chris Brockman.
Yeah, potentially the most dangerous seven seed for the NFL playoffs, Rich. Bengals, Commanders, Packers. Commanders 21%, mm-hmm. Packers 26%, and a resounding 53% for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see Joe Burrow, man.
By the way, and the other two teams in the poll question are already in. They're clinched. The team that's winning this poll question needs other results. They need two other results. They need the Broncos to lose to the Chiefs, and they need the Dolphins to lose to the Jets. And they also need to beat the Steelers. Those three things need to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Unlikely, but you never know.
Well, I don't know how unlikely it is. I mean, it's very likely. The way the Bengals are playing, they could beat the Steelers. The way that the Broncos can absolutely lose at home to the Chiefs backups. That's feasible. You could say not likely, but it is feasible. And it's also feasible that I guess the weakest link of them all is that the Jets would beat the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think so.
Because let me just linger on this for a second about the Jets. I've been talking about it quite a bit, and I've been holding off from talking about it. You don't talk about a team that's got, what, four wins, right, too often?
We've been a Jets-free zone for a little bit.
But just again, this is one of the most disappointing Jets seasons I can remember, and there's a lot of them. There's a ton of them. And at the end of the day, we will look back at the Aaron Rodgers 2 years with the Jets as one of the most disappointing two-year runs the Jets have ever put together. That's how bad it is. It started with a kick in the nards from the football gods that five snaps in, his Achilles snaps in his first season. Then he comes back and he's a shadow of himself half the time. The other half of the time, there's something else that's happening. The owner fires the coach, and he fires him after week five. And the spark that he gets from firing the head coach is two wins grand total. Two. That's it. The spark. You got two wins. According to The Athletic, the one win that they got, first one they got, Aaron Rodgers was going to give the game ball to Jeff Ulbrich, the interim head coach, but I guess he was out on the Prime Video set, chit-chatting. And in the interim, according to The Athletic, the owner's 17-year-old son was already giving out the game ball to Garrett Wilson instead, who had an incredible catch.
Right.
But just weird stuff. Worst.
That's what you were talking about.
Weird stuff, to say the least, coming out in reports about what's going on in the front office and the owner's suite. And the quarterback and the coaches and the interim head coach basically saying after every loss, when the New York media is asking him to evaluate Aaron Rodgers' performance, and he's like, I got to look at the tape. and Rodgers is going to start week 18, I guess, because he's not going to bench Aaron Rodgers. And then this performance against the Bills, unfortunately for the Jets, the way everything broke, this game was in front of the Jim Nance, Tony Romo, CBS audience, which means CBS put this game in as many households as they possibly could in the late window. I mean, the early window. As many as they possibly could see. Got to see the Jets roll over against the Buffalo Bills. Just roll over. It was just the week before, Drake May and the Patriots gave the Bills a scare. Actually took a lead. Jets didn't score till the fourth quarter. Aaron Rodgers, the one play that everyone's talking about from that game from him was him throwing a dreadful interception over the middle. Who knows whose fault it is?
Well, it wasn't Aaron's. We know.
Well,
that.
I mean, you never know. I mean, honestly, you know, receivers aren't in certain spots, and it happens. I don't know. Then he gets called for shoving someone out of bounds. You know, as the Jets now just rolled over. And I thought to myself, is Woody Johnson about to become the first owner in the NFL to fire his interim? Because
interim to the interim?
I don't know.
Has that ever happened?
I doubt it. But it was worth giving that a shot. I don't know. And then then Ian Rappaport, my colleague, reports on NFL Network yesterday that Garrett Wilson is sitting around wondering what his future with the Jets is, and that if it does include Aaron Rodgers being there, he'd consider asking to get out. And I guarantee you, you will see, you know, I'm assuming, I don't know, so I shouldn't guarantee. You'll see Rodgers on McAfee's show tomorrow pushing back on that report, I am sure. But the fact that these reports exist, I mean, does everybody have knives out for eight? Everybody? Is that what it is? Do we have to check their vaccination status before we confirm whether the people have the knives out for it? It's just enough's enough, enough. And I'll just say this. If there is literally anybody in the Jets front office that's still going to be around that is thinking of trading away Garrett Wilson, you leave too. You leave too. And if there's any of the Jets general manager candidates who come in and say, you need so much help, which I don't think they do, you need so much help that we need to trade away Garrett Wilson to get draft choices, then that's not your general manager. Again, we don't know what happened in Tennessee. You see John Robinson's name, the former general manager there. You're going to hire the guy who sent away A.J. Brown rather than pay him? Unless it wasn't his call. I mean, the Jets can probably figure that out. I'm only bringing that up because there's a report. Garrett Wilson could be sent away. He's the problem. 2 years ago, he's rookie of the year. I don't know what to make of this anymore. Other than the fact, it's just, honestly, when it is all said and done, when Aaron Rodgers goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a first ballot Hall of Famer, whenever that day happens, 5 years after he does stop playing, if there's a Jet jersey there, it'll be like ironic. He wouldn't want to remember a single second of this. Why would he want to? It's been a total disaster for him and for the team and for the franchise and for the owner. And for the front office, there's a lot of loose lips. There's a lot of people telling stories anonymously to a lot of people. And it does not reflect well on the ownership or the front office or anybody. It doesn't reflect well on the quarterback. What did you see somebody, Sauce Gardner?
Yeah, Sauce, yeah.
He put on an Instagram.
Under a T. Higgins.
Under T. Higgins, like, pay that man.
Yeah.
And somebody said, you should have him come to the Jets. You should try and get him to come to the Jets. And he basically hard passed that.
Yeah, quote, I will not be telling him that.
Yeah, meaning what? Meaning that it's so bad here that I wouldn't tell somebody who's that good to join me? Smash cut to when Rodgers first showed up. It was the spot everyone wanted to be at. You had a defensive rookie of the year, and you had an offensive rookie of the year. That team needs so many parts that you need to consider trading away Garrett Wilson? I don't know what to believe anymore. Because it is just wild to think that the owner would not make a trade based on someone's Madden rating.
I mean, it's in the game.
You got to get this thing handled. This season can't end soon enough.
But what are you going to do? You going to bring him back next year?
Rodgers? No way. Why would he want to come back? He asked out of the game yesterday. He even basically said to Ulbrich, you know, he had to give the interim head coach permission to take him out. Because the interim head coach is not going to be benching Aaron Rodgers in a game in which they haven't scored a single point, even though any quarterback that is part of that, you'd have to consider taking out, certainly at an advanced age like that. Rodgers basically said he gave the head coach permission to take him out. You can't have, that's not the way to run a team. I don't think Rodgers would want any part of that either. I mean, I think he wants a part of Devontae Adams, but the Jets aren't their fantasy camp. You think Adams wants to have any part of this? If Sauce Gardner is telling a fan, I'm not telling T. Higgins to come here by any stretch of the imagination, who wants a piece of that? And that's the way they're going into getting whoever takes this job, front office and head coach, has got as big an issue as I can remember of anyone that comes in. And that's saying a lot.
I mean, Rodgers has about 40 million reasons to come back next year.
I get it. I don't know why he'd want to. I don't know why he'd want any part of this.
Well, clearly he's someone who cares about legacy and what people think about him, despite what he says. It's obvious his actions show otherwise.
Then he should go find another spot. But it worked out better. Like, if he's already on the Favre plan, Favre leading the Jets wound up going to the NFC Championship game. So find a better spot.
Well, you'd be a bridge guy in Tennessee, New Orleans. Like,
I don't know if he'd... No. You know, Those are not teams that are close.
Well, the Favre plan would have him be the next QB of the Vikings in next year.
Well,
so Darnold goes back to the Jets.
But yes. Yeah, Darnold, right. Got it. Okay. Now we're losing it. YL in Pittsburgh, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, YL?
Hey, man, what's up, guys?
How are you?
How you doing, buddy?
What up, kid?
What's up, boys? How's everybody doing? Had a good holiday?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. I was in the Berg, YL.
Yeah, man, you know, like, DJ, I think we may have met somewhere down the road, man. You know, I think we may have met somewhere down the road.
Hey, man, maybe downtown Pittsburgh at the Foot Locker years ago. Who knows?
Maybe, yeah, or at Cheerleaders, one or the other.
I don't think I've been to that establishment. Why?
What's on your mind?
Who's laughing? Is that Rich laughing?
No, sir.
No, that was Del Tufo.
That was Del Tufo.
He's cackling. What the Cheerleaders is about. And I think my comments spending too much time at Cheerleaders. So, look, you know, last time I was on the call, and I said when I mentioned Rich stuff on bandwagon, it wasn't Tom and the Steelers. It was more Russell Wilson who was believing in him, right?
Yeah.
So I apologize if you misunderstood what I said. I jumped on Tom's bandwagon this past year, right? And I probably should have though. And I know a lot of other Steelers fans did. And they did it for one thing. I think my reason was, this was the first year that Tomlin went after players. Like, he actually had a sense of urgency that he wanted to win the Super Bowl. Going after receivers, going after quarterbacks. I mean, DJ, you've lived your whole life in the Steelers. I know you're a Dallas fan, which is a shame. But, look, you know, we've never done that before, right? Steelers never went after anybody in free agency.
I know. And things did turn out to be different. And I appreciate the call, Wyle. Thank you so much here. I think what's happening with the Steelers, it's giving Steeler fans a here we go, like hashtag here we go. Mm-hmm. For the first, I think, 13 games of the season, they were hashtag here we go.
Yeah.
And now for the last three, it's here we go again.
Here we go again. Mm-hmm.
And they again being a team that ekes into the playoffs only to get eviscerated by the meat grinder of the playoffs right off the bat and prove that despite another winning season for the Mike Tomlin era, they are not Super Bowl worthy and they're immediately defrocked as such by an eventual Super Bowl winner. And they thought it would be different because of the way they were playing with Russ when Pickens was healthy. Pickens comes back, and they play their worst game of the stretch. Because the Kansas City Chiefs, it's their league, and everyone else is rent-paying right now. What a worst possible time to take on the Chiefs on the back end of 3 games in 11 days. And now I know you can sit here and make excuses, this, that, the other thing. But the Chiefs are cresting, and it does appear that the Steelers are now crumbling. But, don't forget, you won 7 of 8 from week 6 on. And the 3 games that you had in 11 days were at Philadelphia, at Baltimore, and home for Kansas City. And that may be your proof that you're not as good as those teams and you will not win the Super Bowl this year. But you did clinch before a lot of other ones because you won enough. And you've got a defensive player of the year who's healthy. And you got a team that all you got to do is beat Cincinnati, get in the tournament, and then you go visit the Houston Texans. And if you do that, and you win that, you get your second shot at the Chiefs, most likely. Unless Joe Burrow makes it.
Right.
Which would only happen if you lose this final game. If you lose this final game, you might wind up taking on the Ravens in the first week of the wild card.
Ooh.
Which you definitely don't want to do if you have an option to go to Houston instead. And if you beat Houston, what, you might wind up in Buffalo and you might wind up in Kansas City and you're going to have to face these guys again. And who knows if you got a puncher's chance, but at least if you make the divisional round of the playoffs, you've taken a step forward. You've taken a step forward. And this season does actually finish better than last year, and that's entirely possible. And there's Mike Tomlin making this point about keeping his guys sharp despite losing every single one of those games in 11 days.
Really, for me, it's no different. I'll utilize whatever tools at my disposal in an effort to get their attention. And more than anything, I'm really transparent. But I'm the same way under good circumstances. And I think that's important as a leader. There's a lot of emotions in this game, man. Those that get an opportunity to play it, my job as a leader is to be what they need me to be. And so from time to time, that could be a myriad of things. But largely, I motivate through information. I'm one that believes you give a capable man viable information, he does the rest. And that's the spirit in which I coach.
So let me ask Steeler question fans this question. If, you know, and I'm sure some Steeler fans did hear that. And they're like, we've heard this for 17, 18 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beating Cincinnati, if you think, and half our poll question answerers think that they would be the most dangerous 7 seed in the playoffs. Beating the Bengals at home and saying they're done, going into the playoffs, heading off to Houston, you wouldn't feel good about that?
They should.
Or you'd be sitting there saying, damn, we lost 3 games in 11 days to teams that we're going to have to beat to make the Super Bowl. They beat us. We're clearly not as good as them. So what? Is that really the way it's going to be in Pittsburgh? Is that really going to be the mindset in Western PA?
If they lose by 2 scores to Cincinnati, and then they lose by 2 scores in the playoff game.
Well,
you're going to start hearing that same.
Dude, well, that's a bit.
Should we keep Tomlin?
Well, you just gave a pretty dark scenario, though.
But they're not playing well enough to think that that's unreasonable.
But they're playing good enough defense that they could take care of Joe Burrow and certainly C.J. Stroud, who's not playing well at all and doesn't have the weapons to do it.
No,
and
I don't,
then having
I don't know
that as a
that.
Momentum springboard to go into Baltimore, Buffalo, or Kansas City. I'm just also saying this. You know, if all 3 wild card teams somehow win, then Jim Harbaugh is coming to visit Pittsburgh. Is that out of the realm?
No, I'm looking at what Patrick Mahomes did to Pittsburgh on Christmas, and Joe Burrow's been playing better than Mahomes this year.
Burrow won and done's the Bills. Jim wins the Harbaugh against his brother. Dave win against the Texans, and Jim Harbaugh's coming to visit, and the Chiefs, and their one home game and went from the AFC Championship game. Is that out of the realm? I'm just saying there's so many ways this thing can play out right now, and we're looking at through the prism of they lost 3 games in 11 days to teams that make the Steelers fans feel like they are 100% reverting to the last few years of the means of needing to hope for Mason Rudolph to do something for him. And I'm saying it's better than that. I might be looking at this thing a little bit half full.
Yeah, they're just already saying. Thinking that, Chris. Like I said, being home and just reading the local media and
flipping out, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're losing it.
They're circling a little bit.
844-204-RICH, number to dial phone calls. And Chris, I want to turn our attention to your franchise.
Oh, boy.
New England Patriots.
Oh, boy.
Because every single Pats fan I know thinks that they should be one and dunning their head coach.
You're looking at another one.
844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Nothing feels as good as driving a new Hyundai. And now you can get a great deal on your favorite model at the Hyundai Gateway Getaway Sales Event. Make sure your next getaway, your best one yet, make sure it is exactly that. Visit HyundaiUSA.com today. Drive away now in one of our most popular models with 0% APR and zero payments for 90 days only during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offer ends January 2nd. Call 562-314-4603 for details. That's 562-314-4603 for details.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone,
and what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Bagel, everybody says I say that weird. It is ruined my proposal story.
How Jason proposed, and she was like, he brought in a bunch of bagels. I was like, I have to stop this. I will punch you in the throat if you ever tell this story again and call it a bagel.
Let me tell you, now when I tell the story, I go, he went and got breakfast.
There you go.
Bagels.
Yeah.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
What's great, man, are these, you know, we do a lot of NFL, NBA shows on Family Feud for Celebrity.
Right.
It's great, man, when regular people discover that celebrities don't know nothing. They don't. You think because a person is famous, they know more. They actually know less.
Yeah.
They know less than anybody else because they're exposed to less. Rich people don't know how much milk costs. You get out of touch, man. And when they come on Celebrity Family Feud, you find out how out of touch they are. They don't know anything, man. Like, one of the questions for the NFL team was, and we were asking a guy running back for the Packers, can't think of his name, but the question was, complete the sentence, strip, and you spoke, you know, like strip mall,
strip
poker,
strip sack.
Could be even strip sack. Yeah. I said, name, complete the word strip. He said, purr. Strip purr. I went, hold on, man, I quit breathing. How is that your point of reference to complete the word strip? Purr. P-E-R. That was it. I was done. That was one of my great moments.
And again, you just walk away and you realize it in the moment, like, okay, this is it, and I'm going to let this thing go.
Hey, after the show, he asked me, he said, Steve, is there any way we could edit that out? I said, sir, we're not editing that out. Matter of fact, we're going to embellish it. You're going to say purr so loud. Purr.
Embellish it. Love it. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Our friend Derek in Missouri, first in. Let's get to him. What's going on, Derek?
Hey, Rick, I'm doing good, sir. How was your trip to Idaho for Christmas with the family?
We're all good. How are you doing?
I'm good. The last couple of weeks for the Broncos have been a little bit edgy. Of course, Saturday was pretty much a game where it was, things are looking bright. You know, we had some bright moments here with Bo Nix. I mean, let's be honest, Rich, the Broncos have their man for the future, what he has been doing right now, what he's improving.
Yep.
And the throws he's thrown to Marvin Mims for these touchdowns are just miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
We had a shot towards the end of the game to, clinch it, and with the missed field goal and this and that, and, just couldn't take advantage of it. Then we got the game coming up coming Sunday against Kansas City. You said it earlier. Carson Wentz could come in and beat this team with third-string guys and everything, this and that. And I said, it's funny, Rich. Back in June when I did a win-loss game with you for the Broncos, when it came to the Chiefs, I said that it was going to be the time where they would rush their starters and the Broncos would win, but it could be to our advantage with them playing the second-string guys,
mm-hmm.
or it could bite us where it hurts the most.
I know.
And before you let me go, Rich, mm-hmm. I have one more thing to say to my friend TJ over there. TJ, just be sure to keep an eye out and make sure you look at the difference between 41 and 7. Just FYI.
How dare you, Derek?
This guy. Thank you, Derek.
Derek, how dare you?
Look at him saying, don't hang up on me yet. Let me dunk on TJ before I go. Thanks for the call, Derek.
I don't deserve
it. We want to talk about nailing your predictions. Our friend Nick Swardson had the Vikings going 15-2.
That's amazing.
He had them losing to Jacksonville and then to the Lions in the last game of the year because they were resting their starters, having started 15-1. But 15-2 is what the Vikings could be if they beat the Lions. The only thing is that if they do go 15-2, there's no way his final prediction of the Vikings winning the Super Bowl is going to come true. And it's not because I don't think the Vikings can win the Super Bowl. It's just that Nick said they would beat the Las Vegas Aces in the Super Bowl, and that can't happen.
Technically an impossibility.
Technically.
That's what you said. They would beat the Las Vegas Aces in it. I think we're going to put that one back out on our Instagram and TikTok feeds because it's too on point.
Rich, at the time he said it, I think we all were in agreement the Aces had a better chance of making the Super Bowl than the Vikings did. And now look.
An Aces parade over a Vikings parade when he said it.
Nick is just looking like a soothsayer.
Yeah, Marty Fish is texting me. I was right too.
Dude.
He had him 13-4.
Skull, baby.
No doubt, a lump of skull in everybody's stocking right now. Ken in Georgia, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Ken?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on, Ken.
Hi, the Vikings are going to win the Super Bowl, Rich.
What an opener. It's not an overreaction to say that. That's not possible.
It's not.
And I watch you guys every day. You're the best show on TV.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Because you said that, I'll give you more time. In all seriousness, why do you think the Vikings are winning at all, Ken? What do you think?
The whole team. Darnold, the cast-off quarterback. O'Connell, the coach. Jefferson, best wide receiver in football. The entire football team.
Thank you for the call, Ken. What if it's Sam Darnold versus Patrick Mahomes standing in the way of a three-peat?
We're all Vikings fans.
Look at this guy over there.
I'm with you, bro.
This guy over there.
Thanks, Mike.
Let me tell you something. One of my favorite parts of his reaction to the Kansas City Chiefs. Same way with my 13-year-old son, mm-hmm. but he doesn't have the perspective that Chris should have. Again, Coop, Patriot fan, like Chris. He has an aversion towards the Chiefs also because his brother and sister love Taylor Swift so much. Mm-hmm. And I have to keep telling him, Taylor Swift doesn't demand that the camera comes and shows her all the time. Okay?
Okay.
She's just incredibly famous and she's supporting the man that she loves, which she has every right to do. And it still doesn't matter. He's still saying it's not just, the anti-Taylor Swift crowd that's rooting against the Chiefs. The people who are rooting against the Chiefs are also rooting against Roger Goodell and the referees that are supporting the Chiefs. This is the stuff that my 13-year-old son says, and I don't know where he picks that stuff up from. It's not from me. It's not from his mother. And it's not from the gambling community, which is where Chris resides as well.
Okay? I mean, Cooper has actually said those words into this very microphone.
Exactly. Yes, indeed. So he doesn't care who knows it.
No.
But the thing, again, he's 13. He should have the perspective that Chris, you know, she should have, but Chris doesn't have because he's got blinders on. Everything he complains about with the Chiefs is everything that everybody else complained about the Patriots for 20 years with Tom Brady.
That is absolutely not true.
I missed all those
insurance commercials with Bill Belichick, that old ball of fun.
Okay, well, Peyton Manning was doing the commercials then, and Bill wasn't.
Get out of here.
Come on, bro. Like, a lot of stuff you're in the text chain complaining about, I'm like,
they're all in them now.
This is how we felt.
No. We felt the same way. Oh, the refs are going to that. Oh, there goes that third down holding call across the field defensively. Just when you had the Patriots. Oh, here comes the announcer. That's just going to be drooling all over the quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's his problem. Oh, Mahomes can do nothing wrong. There's always a bailout call. There's always this. There's always that. Non-stop from the Patriot fan over there, and it's just like, can you have at least one split hair of a second of self-awareness? Just one split.
I'm very self-aware, man.
Not in this case.
I very am.
That picture of Brady in the boot that you like to bring up all the time, that was from March, like after the Super Bowl.
What do you mean? Brady about what?
You sent me this little thing.
Yeah, that picture of Brady wearing a walking boot.
That was after the Super Bowl.
No.
It's fine.
He was in a walking boot in New York City in the bye week leading up to the Super Bowl, Chris. We had the same thing about, is Brady going to be able to overcome the ankle injury? Wait a minute. Let him win his umpteenth Super Bowl. We all lived it. Chris, we all lived it. You just were on the, oh, my God. Absolutely, LFG, Tommy. You go out there in the pre-Super Bowl parade.
There are 5-year-olds who don't know what a
sending us off to our umpteenth Super Bowl. How many teams have rallies sending teams off to the Super Bowl? The Patriots started doing it because it happened so damn often. We didn't have a party for it.
There are 5-year-olds who've never seen a championship parade,
TJ.
Let's
have a rally to send us off to the Super Bowl and have Brady actually say it to a microphone. Nobody believes in us.
Yeah. That was true.
Oh, my God.
It was literally on to Cincinnati. Do you guys not remember?
What happened last year? Nobody believed in the Chiefs, and they won it again. It's the same thing. How are you not aware? How are you not aware?
I'm aware. Look, Rich, someday if you ever see a win, you'll understand what it's like.
Oh, my goodness. This guy!
You'll understand what it's like. TJ, if you remember what it's like. It's okay.
It was a long time ago, but I remember.
He's still texting the entire group, but you're not responding to. On brand. We need to contract the league. We need to have 8 fewer teams in the league because it's just like, why are we having a 7th seed? Why are we?
Because the game was 31-2. We were forced to watch on Christmas.
Let's start with the Patriots.
That was
they're the worst team Cincinnati. In the league right now, arguably. The worst.
And my response was?
Which is like, go ahead. You could say it since you're the arrogant one.
How are you going to contract the team with the most Super Bowl wins?
This guy. I'm telling you, he has no self-awareness of what is happening with the Chiefs. Having problems with the Chiefs and saying the same thing about the Chiefs is exactly what was being said for 20 years. 20 years! 2 decades!
Two different runs. We got a 10-year reprieve.
That's all right.
And it started again.
Everyone in the comments thinks I hate the Chiefs.
He hates the Chiefs. He doesn't hate the Chiefs.
There's nothing about him that tells me he doesn't hate the Chiefs.
Let me explain. I'm very conversant in New Englandese. I'm married into a family.
New Englandese.
Stewardess, I speak New England. Okay?
Hey, guy.
I'm very good at this. Okay? I'm very good at this. The issue Patriots fans have with the Chiefs is that if they keep winning, the Patriots aren't as special. The Patriots, if they keep doing this, if they keep going, and the thing that really gets them a little nervous is Andy Reid is young enough to stay on the job, and Mahomes is young enough to keep going and doing this stuff for a long time. Now, they're going to be sitting there wondering, well, who's going to be the Gronk and the Edelman? Who's going to be the next iteration of stupendous weapons for Mahomes if Wentz Kelce moves on. Who's going to be that guy?
Reed will find him.
Okay. Who's going to be that guy? And what are they going to do?
Noah Gray,
but all that stuff. But the more that they win in a row, if they win three in a row this year, suddenly that's something the Patriots didn't do.
Nobody.
They couldn't get past the divisional round in the year that they went back to back the next year.
All right, you guys are going to hate me for this, but here's the other biggest difference. The Chiefs are doing it with the help of the league and the officials. The Patriots did it in spite of them. Do I need to bring up forfeitures and gates and all that other
Stewardess,
crap?
I speak proven. New England.
The Chiefs don't cheat the way the other.
I speak New England. Jeez. Okay. That's right. I don't know the last time. Did Matt Nagy, when he left the staff, drop a dime on the league about something Reed was doing? Did that happen?
Andy was doing something.
Oh, you do?
You coming?
What do we do?
I mean, doing
what do
something.
We know? What do
Everybody
we know?
Was. What was Bill doing? Huh? Huh? Where's the man genie on the Chiefs?
It could have been Nagy.
Get out of here. We did it in spite of the league doing everything they can to hold us down.
This guy can't handle that the Patriots might be, when it's all said and done, the second greatest dynasty of this century.
I mean,
and it's coming down the pike. It's forming in the ether.
I got to admit, that's a long way off, though. It's a long way off.
It's a long way off, but am I off by saying they're off to a pretty damn good
start
to run them down?
The exact same start that the Patriots had.
Okay. I'm just saying, will there be a 10-year drought?
Oh, no. Can't see that.
Of championships.
Oh, the quarterback play is much better now than it was.
I'm just saying, these are the things that Patriot fans have a problem with. But just hearing you say the same thing that everybody else was complaining about for 20 years, it really is delicious.
It's like that squirrel.
Like squirrel.
Oh, God.
Mike, we set you up.
That coon.
This guy over there.
Delicious. Seriously.
I'm fluent. If there's anybody out there. Seriously, a new feature of RES Consulting. There's a new feature that we have just opened a new department. If you have somebody from New England in your life that you need to translate their essence into English and English into their essence, I'm here to help. Why are they being this way? Why are they saying that? Stewardess, I speak New England.
It's also cold this time of year up there. I mean, okay, get wrinkles, everybody.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show in a bit. Don't you dare move. Oh, my gosh. The best thing about us is that it's about us. How about them apples? All right, everybody.
I know we didn't even get to what everybody. We wanted to talk about.
That's all right. We'll talk about that tomorrow. I'll be zooming in from Utah tomorrow.
What?
Utah. Yes.
Nice.
I'm going to spend a couple of days with the fam there. I just got.
Sweet. Wait a minute. You just got back.
Last week, and then I got back and met with the Rams Thursday, and then the broadcast Friday, did the broadcast Saturday, did game day morning Sunday, did this today.
No, my thought was, why would you come back for one show? But I forgot.
Definitely. I came back for a whole heck of a lot, pal.
Yeah, you had that other stuff going, yeah.
I don't know. I just texted Zan. Is their fam's flying there right now?
Mm-hmm.
Asked how's it going. I can't believe I'm reading this on the air. Slightly chaotic. Cooper may or may not have locked the car with the keys, mom's phone, and the dogs in it at the airport, but we're in security now. What does that mean?
I mean, that's not.
Sounds like he locked the keys in the car.
Oh, you left the dogs in the car?
No, I'm sure they have been removed with the phone and the mom since they're all in security right now. Wow. This is my life, everybody. I'm a lucky guy. I'm a lucky guy, but. There's going to be some interesting conversations to be had once I'm off the air.
Why?
Oh, for me? Yeah. No, just to Coop. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
I mean,
hey, we've all locked keys in the car. What's the deal?
Tell me about it. First day of my job.
What? Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
you told that story.
Oh, the van, right?
The van,
I thought I had locked the keys in the car, but I had just placed the equipment on top of it outside the car. Didn't realize that until half of the community of Cottonwood, California had come along to try and help me, Jimmy, open the car.
Wait, Cottonwood? That's where the Mega Millions winner was.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
No kidding. Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah, somebody's a billionaire in Cottonwood.
Cottonwood, that's right.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Then they could buy a community Slim Jim for people just like me.
Slim Jims don't work anymore. You don't want to try that in a car.
Life insurance, you know you need it, but maybe you think you can't afford it, or it's too complicated, or you don't want to deal with medical exams. Well, that's all changed with Ethos, folks. With Ethos, just go online, answer a few simple health questions, and in as little as 10 minutes, you can get up to $2 million in term life coverage with plans starting around $2 a day. No doctor's visits, no complicated forms, all online. Don't let the unexpected leave your family without the financial security they need. Get your free quote at tryethos.com. That's tryethos.com. George in Philadelphia, let's take your phone call. What's up, George?
Hey, Rich, how you guys doing?
What's going on, bud?
I'm a diehard Dolphins fan, and I'm looking forward. I'm going to be at MetLife this weekend.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to the Chiefs paying back the Dolphins' debt from the 2019 season when Kevin Harlan, my second favorite announcer, was calling both ends of the games. Dolphins beating the Patriots while the Chiefs won their game, and the Dolphins helped send the Chiefs to that one spot overall.
Yeah, so basically the Dolphins beat the Jets while they look up and see the Chiefs beating the Broncos on the scoreboard. It will not matter if the Bengals had beaten the Steelers the night before. The Dolphins
go in,
they're the seventh seed, and the Dolphins wind up playing the Bills for a third time, which is exactly what would have happened last year had the Dolphins beaten the Bills in the final game of the regular season. They would have hosted the Bills rather than going to Kansas City in the freezing meat locker. That would happen.
Beat the allegations.
So, all right, George, I hope you guys get it. It's George in Philadelphia, diehard Dolphin fan right there.
Diehard Dolphin fan in Philly. That's weird.
Let me tell you something about Philadelphia. Hey, Philadelphia Eagles, do not play Saquon Barkley another down this regular season. I know he's got a shot at Eric Dickerson.
Go for it.
I'll tell you something, though.
You really want him to go for it?
No shot.
Yeah.
No.
Chris, let me, if you were think about this. This record that hasn't been touched in all these years, and you were close to it. I mean, you can't play football scared anyway, right? Like, the chances, you can get hurt in practice.
Guess what?
If you're this close, man, to something that's, think about what that means to the linemen. To him, to the entire organization and franchise. And this is speaking as an Eagles. You know how I feel about the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think I'd want to go for it.
He's already immortalized. 2,000 yards.
That's correct.
Is a very exclusive group.
Yeah,
that's correct. 2,000
yards. So is the 500 home run club. But you know who's number one. You don't know who's number 10.
This is correct on all these fronts. Guess what? You don't need to do it. You don't need to do it.
Yeah, you don't need to.
No,
I mean, Saquon
don't.
Himself said it. You know, raising the banner is more important.
This is what, by the way, Saquon is just the greatest. I love this guy. And did you know it was his first, as he called it, hat and shirt game?
Yeah, you said that. I've never
heard
that phrase.
Do you know what that
means? I've just recently started hearing that phrase.
It means you've won a division. You get a hat, you get a shirt. He's never had a hat and shirt game, is what he said.
I'd never heard that term until this year.
That's what he used. And he had his first hat and shirt game yesterday. And that's what it's about. It's about hats and shirts and trophies. Hit it.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Just, you know, being a fan of the game and the running back position to, you know, reach a milestone and put myself up there with eight other backs that I respect and, you know, some of them I grew up watching definitely means a lot. But at the same time, I wouldn't be able to do that with this team. Like I said, you can't be great without the greatness of others, and I'm just happy I was able to, you know, be a part of the team and be able to reach a milestone like that.
One shot at the record?
You know, the way I look at it, if it's in God's plan, then it is. If, you know, I'm not, you know, overly trying to go get it. I'm not scared of it. Like, I would love to, but at the end of the day, also, we got bigger things that we're focusing on, and we're able to clinch the division right here. And, you know, whether it's we play next week or not and rest, I'm fine with that too, because I didn't come here and sign here just to, you know, rush for 2,000 or break a record. I want to do something special, and it's meaning special with the team.
Dude, I love everything about him. I want nothing but the greatest for him. 2,000 yards, 2,005 rushing yards for him. as he mentioned, there's only eight other guys in the 2K club, and he did it in 16 weeks, so there's no asterisk on that front, as there would be if he goes for Eric Dickerson and gets the 102 yards that he needs to break Dickerson's single-season rushing record. And I know at some point we're going to stop talking about these asterisks, but for him, and I know you can't play scared, you can't play scared of injury, you can't do it. I understand it, but that's what coaches are there for. Is to tell him, great job. And plus the Giants thing, who cares that the Giants are coming? And that page is turned. That page is turned.
It can't be turned.
It is turned. It is done.
For who?
For
you think it's turned for him, really? You think he wouldn't want to go out there
and do it against the Giants?
Rich, come on, man.
Dude, he's already beaten the Giants. He's already beaten them up. He's already won
not
the battle.
He's not like this. Though,
Saquon hasn't only won the battle with the Giants by having a 2,000 yard season for the 13 win Eagles, and they win the NFC Championship, NFC East Championship, mm-hmm. and it's his first hat and shirt game, and he's done it with the Eagles, and he's got a 2,000 yard season. He's not only done it for all the people in the Giants front office who either said no or thought it wasn't worth enough to say yes. He's done it for him and Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs, who, by the way, Saquon and the Eagles may see in the first round of the playoffs. Everybody's saying that, you know, running backs can't change fortunes, or why are you worth paying them for free agency? They've all basically said, get the hell out of here with that noise. He's done it all.
He hasn't done it all.
No, I'm just saying he's done enough. What are you going to do? You're going to really send him out there hoping to get 102 rush yards against the Giants, and then all of a sudden he's rehabbing an ankle? He's rehabbing. This thing gets nicked up or that? The most important thing is that trophy at the end of the day, and a guy who can get him that trophy at the end of the day is a healthy Saquon Barkley. Period, end of story.
We spent so much time talking about records and historical feats and things of this nature, and you're this close to something, the record that stood since what, 85?
It's
a meaningless game.
It's meaningless game. The record would be great for him to have it, but there's enough people out there who would, I guess he wouldn't have to care. Dickerson did it in 16 games. That's the other thing that was so great, that they had him in there in a game that was decided, where, you know, they were already down to quarterback number three, just to prove about how anything can happen in the middle of a game when your backup quarterback throws a dart to A.J. Brown and takes one of the chops from Micah Parsons. What happens if Saquon, somebody from the Giants, has a clear shot of him? You really do that just because, oh, no, he could take out Eric Dickerson's record?
They You're at saying least got this him like it doesn't matter, though.
I'm saying it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when it comes down to Saquon needing to be the most healthy he can possibly be to win it all. That's what this is about, win it all. What better way would he be able to tell the Giants a middle finger, if that really does matter to him anymore, than to say, I am making sure they're greasing telephone poles down here. And Kelsey's showing up in his mummer's outfit. And we're celebrating we got a trophy in the case. I got a trophy in the case. No. Let's see if he'll be able to say, I broke Eric Dickerson's rushing record against the Giants for the Eagles. He's done it all, is what I'm saying. You know, and if they really wanted him to go for a record, they wouldn't have kept Tush pushing his quarterback and the 10 times he got it down to the 1 yard line.
Right. He could have 10 more touchdowns. He could have broke the touchdown record this year.
Dude.
And got him the MVP.
Saquon Barkley, with yesterday's performance, he now has, let me get this right, he now has 1,245 rushing yards after halftime. That's the record. Now, for the National Football League, in its history, that is currently 9 fewer yards than Jonathan Taylor on the season. And Josh Jacobs, it's 40 yards fewer than Josh Jacobs' entire season output. And they hand him the ball every other play now. He's done enough. Enough. If I'm an Eagles fan, I will see him in his pajamas. Mm-hmm. Let him wear his new hat and his new shirt. And stand there and watch Kenneth Gainwell against the Giants get your win. You can't do any better than two. It's over. It's done. You can't do any worse than two. It's finished. Get Jalen Hurts well, because you're going to have your hands full with either the Packers or the Commanders for a third time. And you want Saquon? Oh, I've been rehabbing this quad, this calf, this, because, but I did get that rushing record. Really?
Yeah, again, you keep. I get your point, but the way you're poo-pooing it, like, oh, I got the rushing record, like it doesn't mean anything, is kind of crazy to me. I okay, fine. You want to keep him healthy, but we can't make it seem like this isn't a big deal.
Of course, it would be a nice big. Like, it would be a nice thing.
Just to be like, oh, I just got the rushing record.
When it comes
like,
down to it, it's about parades, trophies, hats, shirts, not records. Honestly. And if I'm Sirianni and you're wavering, then you call in Big Dom and say, this is what you're going to do. If I think about Dom. Anything, you step in front of me Big Dom. Before I put Saquon in the game.
That's funny.
Have Big Dom take care of it.
Big Dom would go for it.
My World with Jeff Jarrett takes wrestling fans behind the scenes, along with King of the Mountain, Conrad Thompson.
I wanted to ask you about what you know, if anything, on the new WWE ID program, where they're apparently going to be working with some independent wrestlers.
My encouragement to any independent wrestler out there, build your value and then understand your value, and then you create your own leverage. There's no substitute for hard work and getting over.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.